the tricycles, I love the synagogues, I love the Lego, and I love the Lincoln Logs. I love the fishing lures, I love the plumber's snakes, I love the things that people make. I love the way that people decorate their homes. I love the ovens and the casseroles they make. I love the things that people make.
You are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph and elsewhere on the internet at www.cfru.ca. My name is Sarah Mangle, and I am your host for the next half hour. These Things That People Make traveled to Halifax because I'm the host and the producer of the show, and I went to Halifax. And last week, if you were listening, you heard an interview with Debbie Power of the Happy Face Museum of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. And Dartmouth is just across the harbor from Halifax. Took a ferry with my friend Katie. And this week, I'm going to air a really exciting interview with Jay Almack about his book, When I Grow Up. And it's a kid's book about being a young trans boy, and trying to find people who support your identity. Jay is a trans man himself, and he lives in Halifax. And I'm always looking for children's books that validate the experience of real kids. And so the fact that I know young transgender children means I look for books for young trans that reflect the reality of young transgender children. And there aren't very many, if any. And so Jay told a story that didn't get included in the interview I'm going to play for you. So I'm going to tell you that he went looking in Vancouver, where he used to live, for a book about growing up trans, and couldn't find any. And the person at the bookstore said, maybe you're going to have to write your own. And that's exactly what he did, which is so exciting. So we're going to start with him reading an excerpt. Actually, not reading an excerpt. We get the real deal. He's going to read to us the whole story. So here is When I Grow Up.
So it's called When I Grow Up, by me. Yay. When I grow up, I want to be a boy, said Mary to his mother one sunny day in the fall. What? His mother yelled. You can't be a boy. You're a girl. But I don't feel like a girl, he tried to explain. Nonsense, exclaimed his mother. So Mary wandered off to find his father. When I grow up, I want to be a boy, said Mary to his father. Ridiculous. Boys are boys and girls are girls, his father yelled. And there's nothing... No. And that's all there is to it. That explanation didn't make Mary feel very good, so he walked down the street. Hello, Mr. Smith. Hello, Mary. How are you today? Asked Mr. Smith. Is it true that boys are boys and girls are girls, and that's all there is to it? Asked Mary. Because I told my parents that I want to be a boy when I grow up, and they said I couldn't, because boys are boys and girls are girls, and that's all there is to it. Well, some boys are boys and some girls are girls, replied Mr. Smith. But that's not all there is to it, and I think some milk and cookies will help sort this out. Okay, agreed Mary. Sometimes when a baby is born, it's hard for the doctors to tell if the baby is a girl or a boy. Why? Asked Mary. Well, most babies are born with either a girl body or a boy body, but some babies' bodies are different, and that's okay. It's normal. How do they know if the baby is a boy or a girl? Asked Mary. When the baby gets a bit older, they'll be able to tell their parents whether they feel like a boy or a girl. Sometimes when a baby is born, that looks like a girl. But when they get a bit older, they tell their parents that they feel like a boy. And that's okay. It's normal. And sometimes a baby is born that looks like a boy. But when they get a bit older, they tell their parents they feel like a girl. And that's okay. It's normal too. There are some people who feel like girls and look like girls, who like to play with dolls and have tea parties, and that's okay. And there are some people who feel like boys and look like boys, who like to play with trucks and climb trees, and that's okay. And there are some people who feel like boys and look like boys, who like to play with dolls and have tea parties, and that's okay. And there are some people who feel like girls and look like girls, who like to play with trucks and climb trees, and that's okay. And there are some people who feel like boys but look like girls. Some of them like to play with trucks, and some of them like to have tea parties, and that's okay. And there's some people who feel like girls but look like boys. Some of them like to play with dolls, and some of them like to climb trees, and that's okay. And there are some people who don't feel like a boy or a girl, and some people that feel like both a boy and a girl, and that's okay too. What someone wears or who they play with or what they play doesn't make them a boy or a girl. What makes someone a boy or a girl or both or neither is what they feel like on the inside. Everyone is different, and no one should be afraid to be themselves, even if it's not the same as who other people think they should be. I feel like a boy, said Mary quietly. Do you want me to call you by a different name? I will if you want me to, but if you don't, that's okay too, said Mr. Smith. Will you call me Mark? Of course I will, Mark, said Mr. Smith. Then Mark and Mr. Smith went outside to rake leaves in the crisp autumn air. The end.
You are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. And that was just Bikini Kill with their song, New Radio. Before that, we were listening to an interview with Jay Almack. We just started the interview. He just read us the story. The story is When I Grow Up. And it's a story about a young little boy named Mary whose parents think he's a girl, probably because he was born with a girl body. So we're talking about transgendered issues in today's show. I'm aware that some people might not know what I mean when I say transgendered. And there is a long explanation that could take half an hour. Maybe I'll just do a little short sum up and encourage people to check out on the shelf for resources, which is the trans and queer community run library in Guelph, if you live in Guelph, or the 519 in Toronto, or you can even actually, you know what, send me an email, sarah.mangle@gmail.com, if you're looking for more information about trans resources or definitions or things like this, and I will hook you up. But basically, it's funny. It's like, let's start at the beginning. So I believe in, a lot of people believe that gender is a social construct. So this idea that there is some socialization going on around when we're born and how a girl is supposed to perform her life, or how a boy is supposed to perform his life, or who is a girl or who is a boy. And transgendered men are people who are born with female bodies who identify as men, and trans women are people who are born with male bodies who identify as women, and then there is transsexual people, and then there is genderqueer people. So there's all these definitions, but I'm not going to go totally into it right now because I do think that you can do your own research, and I also think that I want to get back to this interview because I want to talk about Jay's book. So if you do have some questions, please call me. I mean send me an email, sarah.mangle@gmail.com, and we can talk about this some more. And now we're going to just describe the images in the book because we haven't done that yet, and it's an illustrated book, so that's pretty exciting. They were made with plasticine, and we talk about an illustrator. I reference an illustrator, and I can't remember her name in the interview, so I want to tell you who that is. That's Barbara Reed, and she's an illustrator of books. If you're my age, I'm 29, you may know her story from The Baby, New Baby Calf, or Have You Seen Birds? There's this image that I can really remember. It's a cow with its tongue out, and so that image, you may remember, it's just like plasticine's so cool to illustrate with. Honestly. And the other book that I reference is The Subway Mouse, and that is a more recent book that was illustrated by Barbara Reed. So Jay is also illustrating with plasticine, and we're about to describe the book that he wrote now, and the book is called When I Grow Up.
That's beautiful. So now I'm going to try to describe it for our listening audience. Thank you, Jay. Plasticine. It's so interesting. I'm looking at this drawing of like this mom next to a fridge with her finger wagging in the air. And it just like the thing about plasticine is it reminds me of a particular artist who most recently did this book, The Subway Mouse, but did a whole bunch of books that I will research and then say on the air the author's name because I can't remember right now. Like the cow. There's like a cow image. So it just sort of like nestles me. Like, this kind of art brings me back to my childhood in this really nice way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, me too. I know who you're talking about.
And plasticine has so much texture. So there's the next picture when Mary's talking to his dad is his dad kind of looking a little bit, you know, quiet in a chair far away from Mary. And then Mary's walking down the street. This is a very, like, there's very bright colors. Plasticine is using very bright colors. I like how Mr. Smith, I like how there's no explanation for him. He's just, like, this accepting neighbor.
Yeah, he just, like, you know, lives down the street. Whatever. He's like, I'm raking leaves. And he's like, hey, I know you because you live down the street.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm friendly neighbor dude. You know, I don't know.
And I think also, I've never read a book with this particular subject, but I sometimes find that when people in... I'm assuming we're in the same community. Who knows? We can debate that. But I interviewed Jacinta Bennell, who puts together like the Girls Are Not Chicks comic book. And it's very like after a while when we did our interview, like her stuff is like very like sort of like supporting butch girls. Basically, it's like a coloring book, and the idea is like girls can play with trucks and girls can use wrenches and like these types of things, and it's cool. But I was like, this book seems like it's maybe for us, like it's maybe for adults, you know what I mean? And this book seems like it's actually written for kids, and I feel like that's really refreshing.
Yeah, well, it is written for kids, and the reason is because I have many small cousins, and I wrote them this book. It's kind of for them, for like when I was coming out, and yeah, so that, like, but it was more for their parents, so their parents, well, it was for them, but it was, I wrote it for their parents, so that their parents could just shove the book at them and be like, hey, you should read this, and not have to be all like, how do I explain this to my children, you know, so it was, like, for the kids, but, like, more to, like, ease the parents' minds.
Can you talk a bit about the process of making the book, and then, like, the response afterwards?
Yeah, so, it took me a while, basically, like, about a year, and, like, I was all like, okay, I'm gonna write this book, this is how I'm gonna do it, so that, you know, my family will be not freaking out or whatever, it'd be easier for them if they don't have to, like, think of how they have to explain this to their small children. And so then I was like, oh, I don't know what to do, and I went through, like, a couple of different things, and I was like, oh, I don't like that, like, trying to figure out how to do it, and then one day
What things?
Oh, like, different plot lines that I just was just like, I don't like that. It's like, ugh, I don't like it. And then one day I just kind of, like, was all like, hey, I just like sat down and it was just like, this is what.
Yeah.
So basically most of the words came in like one day or whatever. And then I edited it a bit. And then I did the pictures. And I originally started to try to do the pictures like by drawing. Mm. And I was not pleased with how that was turning out.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, well, what am I going to do? And then I was like, hey, plasticine. I really liked those other books as a child that like had the plasticine. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to do plasticine. Anyway, so then I got like a lot of plasticine. And then I went home and was like, this could either be really bad or really awesome. And so then I just started like doing the pictures. And it was like, I didn't do them in order or anything. I just like, when I could think of what I wanted to draw in a picture, then I did it. Yeah, so that's, and then that took like from November to Valentine's Day to do the pictures. So that was a big chunk of bunch of months where I like sat in my basement and did plasticine. And then after that, I had a friend help me take digital photographs of it, of the pictures. And then I put them in a computer program and then sent it to a printer. And then they printed it.
So. Did you self-publish it? It looks really like a book I could find in the library.
Yeah, it's not really published yet. I'm trying to get it. Like, this is just, I just got it printed. That's loud. I just got it printed by a local printing house. And I'm trying to get it sold and printed now.
Yeah.
Call you up. The reason I call, I was filled up, but I want you to know, honey, that I love you so. I'm sorry, I ain't going to let you worry my life no more. Hello, babe, I tried to call you up, but the people in the flat said you wasn't up. I had something to tell you. I wanted you to know. I'm sorry, I ain't going to let you worry my life no more.
Are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. I'm airing a really fantastic interview with Jay Amack, who is an author and illustrator based in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And we've been talking about his first book, When I Grow Up, and we're going to go back to that interview now. Oh, and in the background here is Lil Green from a record called Chicago, 1940 to 1947.
And so you gave it to your, like, relatives?
So I gave
relatives.
It to my family. So I gave it to my parents, my brother, and my aunts and uncles. Mm-hmm. And their edit, I guess. And then everyone was like, the pictures are so awesome. And I'm like, awesome. Yay. And they all really like the book, so that's good. And, yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the use of the word normal, which is interesting. Just like this, where you're saying, like, some people... I'll just find it.
Yes.
Sometimes a baby is born that looks like a boy, but when they get a bit older, they tell their parents they feel like a girl, and that's okay. It's normal too. And I think that, like, often when we are, like, within the realm of, like, doing education around this, we're like, everyone's different. And that's, like, it's just interesting, these use of these words, normal or different or whatever.
Yeah.
And what the use of the word normal does here, for whatever reason, is it just kind of, like, I don't know. It's inclusive in this way where it's just like, this isn't different and okay because it's different. Like, how do we describe what is different or the same? You know, we get to decide those things. So it's just this fun. It's just like, it ties things together in this, like, interesting, inclusive way in this context.
Yeah, it's like, it's not like, oh, these people exist, but they're like freaks. It's like, no, these people exist, but like, whatever, they exist.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just it's a really dynamic difference for whatever reason.
That's interesting.
I work in daycares off and on right now. I don't, but I will again. And I've definitely had these interesting experiences with. I had a little girl who like had to argue that she was a girl. She was 3 years old. There's this funny idea that children don't understand. Like children, we shouldn't confuse children about gender, but they actually fundamentally understand.
Yeah.
Like, and there's this other thing. Within like early childhood study, where there's a milestone at 2. At 2 years old, children are supposed to understand who is a boy and who is a girl. And I, Jay, have never met a single 2-year-old, none, zero, that understand who is a girl and who is a boy. None, zero. So I read that and I'm like, in my like child study books, and I'm like, what a strange milestone, and why do we care so much? And like, you know? But I think this young girl would be like, I'm a girl, I'm your girl, you know, like these types of things. And there'd be other kids who'd be like, you're a boy. And she'd be like, I'm a girl, you know. And it's just like, and then to see other teachers like laugh at her and be like, ha ha ha, like, you're misguided, like, you're a boy. And me be like, this child is yelling this. This child is yelling this. You know, like, can we at least listen to her? Like, is that like, you know? And so what she figured out, because I was the afternoon teacher and the morning teacher was another teacher, she was like, in the morning I'm a boy and in the afternoon I'm a girl. And so I was like, you're navigating safety in this, like, you know? But they figured it out. And this is a funny thing where adults in our lives are like, how am I going to explain this to the children in my life? And it's like, how are you going to explain this to yourself, really? Because like,
it's like,
kids have no problem, you know?
Like, that was the thing when I was making this. I'm like, I don't think my cousins are going to care.
Yeah.
They'll be like, whatever, okay.
Yeah.
And, but it's like, but it's the parents that, like, freak out and be like, what am I going to do? How do I explain this strange concept to my children? Where the children are all like, oh, okay, this person uses this new name and these other pronouns now. Cool.
Yeah. You are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. And I've been playing an interview with Jay Omack about his book, When I Grow Up. He's currently looking for a publisher, and he's got a copy of it, but he wouldn't give me a copy of it yet. So watch for it. Watch for When I Grow Up. Look for it. And check out my blog a couple hours from now. There'll be more information about the book up on my blog. The
website for the blog is www.thesethingsthatpeoplemake.blogspot.com. Gender policing. We're talking about gender policing of childhood, and what is that about? It's really unclear to me. I don't totally get it. But I will say, in my work with children, that it is not the children who are confused by gender or gender ambiguity or transgender issues. It's the adults who are overwhelmed by it. And so I just want to make a call out. Like, there are people doing work. There's people making zines. There's people making posters. There's people making kids' books. I think there's something interesting and noteworthy about people who are looking to get their books published and distributed, in this case in particular, because people show up at bookstores and libraries and queer resource centers looking for this kind of thing, and it doesn't exist enough or at all in some cases. And so if we want resources for kids and resources for adults that validate our lives and our identities, then at this point we have to do it ourselves. And other folks around us have to support us and help us make those things and help us get them published. The publishing scene in Canada is rough because small publishers are not able to make enough money. I played an interview a few weeks ago with Jesse and Charlie Huskin of the St. Therosa Library, a small bookstore that just closed in Kensington Market, Toronto. Things are bleak. Things are not super easy or super accessible, but there are things we can do. And Jay has made this awesome book, and I am really excited to see it published and see it distributed and see people find it and love it. Please support small projects like this, and consider yourself about writing a book about your life and your world and explaining it to other people. So I want to also just give a special thank you to Jake, who introduced us. And so next week on the show, I'm going to be talking about the zine White Elephant that is based out of Philly. But Katie, who writes White Elephant, she was at the Anchor Archive Regional Zine Project in Halifax, Nova Scotia, writing about yard sales, and we're going to talk to her next week. So please come back next week, and if you want to get in contact with me about anything you've heard at the show, you can check out the blog, thesethingsthatpeoplemake.blogspot.com, or you can send me an email, sarah.mangle@gmail.com. You've been listening to CFRU. We archive all of our programming for up to 6 weeks. You can visit our website, www.cfru.ca, to check that out, and stay tuned. Groundwire is up next.
You are listening to CFRU, radio worth taking your glasses off for.
The C.J. Monfort Center is a resource center for people of color and Aboriginal peoples at the University of Guelph. This is where we all unite. The Monfort Center, located in McKinnon Room 54 and 55, provides a microwave, two computers, and a fridge, among other resources. The center is a place to study, sleep, or relax. It's a place for great conversation. If you want to vent, share experience, good or bad, this is the place for you. You meet great people, and it's just an overall awesome environment. Don't hesitate to drop in anytime before 10 p.m., and you're sure to meet a smiling face. For more information, call us at 519-824-4120, extension 56911, or visit us at www.uoguelph.ca/Monfort, or join our Facebook group.
The following is brought to you by Echo Weekly. I'm publisher Sean Rosen, and I've been asked to record a radio spot and talk to you about why you should read Echo Weekly. So, do yourself a favor, pick up a copy of Echo Weekly, check it out. And if you don't, ask yourself why, because as a person, you might be lacking. Thank you. Echo Weekly, free every Thursday.